There are too many hazards on our roads. I have deep concerns regarding the recent changes to the road infrastructure, specifically the addition of pylons, pillars, concrete abutments, and curbs around bike lanes. These modifications, which I assume were intended to improve safety, have unfortunately created distractions, making the roads more hazardous for everyone, cyclists, pedestrians, and motorists alike. One significant issue is the complete lack of published guidelines or rules on how these new bike lanes should be navigated. As a result, we have cyclists going the wrong direction in the lanes, people jogging, pushing strollers, and seniors using scooters all in the same space. It has created mass confusion and is putting all users at risk. Additionally, the concrete curbs have narrowed the bike lanes to the point where it's impossible for users to safely meet or pass each other. Previously, faster cyclists had the option of pulling out into the traffic lane to safely pass slower users, but that's no longer feasible with the current design. In short, this has turned into a chaotic and unsafe situation for all road users. I urge the relevant authorities to reconsider these designs and, at the least, provide clear rules and guidelines for the proper use of these bike lanes. Frank Willman, a cyclist, Sonich. This government went from surplus to deficit. Gordon Campbell. In this election, your vote will make a difference, October 9th. The responses to Gordon Campbell's commentary was what I would have expected, going in all directions. My only question would be, how reliable is a government that last year declared an approximate $5 billion surplus? This isn't like finding a loony between the sofa cushions. This is a windfall that they supposedly didn't know was there, and began giving away money, read buying votes, via rebates through BC Hydro, ICBC among others, only to find themselves in a deficit position this year of $9 billion? Fiscal responsibility appears not to be in the NDP playbook. Ernie Kimmel, Oak Bay. An insurance incentive to quake-proof our homes. On Thursday, we will experience the great shakeout practice, so we are prepared in the event of a major earthquake. Preparedness is a great idea. We practice the drop, cover, hold on drills, check our emergency grab bag and food supplies. We are prepared. But in the event of a major earthquake, will we have a place to stay? Can we occupy our home, or will it be declared unsafe? Most homes can be hardened against the effects of natural disasters. This can be done economically and will increase the home's resistance to the forces of an earthquake. In many instances, it can be done by the determined homeowner. But we need an incentive. Recent hurricanes have ripped through the southeastern United States, destroying thousands of homes, leading to massive increases in insurance claims and, as a result, rising costs of insurance and occasions of inability to reinsure. But in Florida, if your home has been hardened to resist the hurricane forces, you are eligible for a reduced rate of insurance. We need similar insurance policies here in southwestern British Columbia. Earthquake insurance rates have been rising every year and are mandatory with mortgages. New homes complying with the latest building codes are relatively safe. Older homes can be easily seismically upgraded. Safe drivers get a reduced insurance rate. Prudent homeowners should also be eligible for a reduced rate of home insurance. Earthquake insurance should be directly tied to the risk of loss. Ken Johnson, Colwood. Not many people had an adverse event. Rusted's vulnerability, a sign of leadership, letter, October 8. The letter writer, a retired RN, tries to tie her version of truth to what she calls harm from COVID vaccination that conservative leader John Rusted claimed. Rusted told media he had a heart issue 6 weeks after his second COVID vaccine. Perhaps the heart issue was not related to the vaccine at all and was political speculation? According to the federal government, 58,712 people reported an adverse event following vaccination. Of those reports, only 11,702 concerned serious problems. Health Canada statistics indicate that about 80% of Canadians completed the primary series of COVID vaccinations. More than 31 million people. Do the math. The 58,000 folks experiencing an adverse event sounds like a lot, but actually represents only 0.18% of the total vaccinated population in Canada. Facts matter to determine truth. Thank you, Dr. Bonnie Henry, for keeping the rest of us safe. Jonathan Purdy, Victoria. Serious problems, so get out and vote. In the final days of the BC election campaign, one of the oldest political tactics is being used. The NDP government is using fear as a tactic to shore up a political result they thought was a foregone conclusion, but now realize might not be. Fear is one of the most reliable, time-proven tools in politics. The problem is that it is often misplaced, underhanded, and dishonest. The upstart Conservative Party has seemingly come out of nowhere to be a contender. As a result, the New Democrats are evoking the fear of a far-right, boogeyman party full of conspiracy theorists and radicals who will take away your democratic rights and plunge the province into chaos and injustice. One hardly knows what to say in the face of a tactic like this. Will it work? We don't know, and we won't know until the election is over. What we do know is that after several years of NDP rule, things are not good. Homelessness abounds, we have a massive drug problem, the province is deeply in debt, and people are leaving this province to create a better life. Instead of whipping up fear, this government should have focused on these problems, which they are more than partially responsible for, and come up with solutions. They haven't, which is part of the reason they have desperately backtracked on more than one of their policies. Everyone should vote, not because of ridiculous fears that we may become far right, but because they have understood the issues and seen that it is time for change. Perry Foster, Duncan. Send us your letters. Email. letters@timescolonist.com. Mail. Letters to the editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Tyee Road, Victoria, BCV9A6X5. Aim for no more than 250 words.